I appreciate the privilege to be here in Shawnee again. Thanks to the Lord for His blessings, and trust that the Lord is blessing each one of you. I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us be able to bring out the thoughts that He has laid on our heart. I will confess to you that the message that the Lord gave me, I didn't know I was going to be preaching here. But the Lord began to talk to me, and when Brother Ed called yesterday and mentioned that he needed some help here in Shawnee, I asked the Lord about it, and felt like the Lord said, go. And so I'm going to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I would write it on the board, but I'll just say it. The words, fill her up. I look around and I see some of you that I'm sure you're old enough to remember what it was like when full-service gas stations were the norm. And perhaps you have said those same or similar words, fill her up, many times. I also see some of the younger generation that perhaps has never been in a full-service station. In this self-service environment that we're living in today is quite different. The full-service stations, for those that are younger, that haven't been there, they're quite different than the stations today. They weren't Quick Trips and come and goes and convenience stores. They were a service station. And they might have a pop machine and they might have a few snacks. But they had belts on the wall and they had hoses and there was a garage beside it and there was usually a mechanic and that's where you took your car to get it serviced or the engine rebuilt or whatever needed to happen. And when you pulled into the station, there was usually, you probably remember that little old bell cord and you run over it and ding the bell in there and tell the attendant, somebody's out there. And he'd wipe his hands of what he's working on and come out there and you didn't even have to get out of your car. You just pulled up there and rolled the window down and he'd say, how can I help you? Fill her up. Regular Ethel. Regular. And while he was filling the car, then he would go around and he'd wash all the windows and he would pop the hood. The latch wasn't inside. It was outside at that time. And he'd pop the hood and check the oil and the water and the radiator and all those things. And if he was a good attendant, he'd walk around and check the tires. If you needed air, he'd put them in there. That's just the service that they provided. It was a full service station. Well, you said, where are you going with this? I don't know why I had this, but one morning I woke up and those words were on my mind. Fill her up. I don't know if the Lord dropped them there, if I'd been dreaming or what, but as those words were going through my mind, the Lord dropped the words of the song into my heart. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. And I'd like to read some of those to you this morning. It says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. The chorus says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. It says there are millions in the world who are seeking for pleasures earthly goods afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. So my brother, if the things that this world gives you leaves hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. The words of this song express very well the burden of the message that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. My desire is that the Lord would fill each one of us. Amen. With His love, with His presence, with His power, that we would have the presence of God so rich in our individual lives. And if we have it in our individual lives, dear ones, we'll have it when we come collectively. And that His presence would be so rich in our midst that the powers of Satan would be bound. I'm going to tell you, the powers of Satan are trying to rob you and I of the blessings that God has for us. He is trying in every way he can to hinder us from getting all the things that God has for us. But I want you to know, I believe that God has an abundant supply of everything that we need. I also am fully convinced, dear ones, that God has the only thing that will satisfy the deep longing of our soul.
Yes, he does.
When you look at these, the words of this song, and you see, the Lord wants us, dear ones, to lift up our cup, that God can fill it up. Let's turn to Psalms. I want to look at Psalms, the 42nd chapter. The psalmist knew very well the desire of the soul. In Psalms, the 42nd chapter, in the first verse, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" You notice it says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." I want to ask you this morning, what is the thirsting of our soul? What is it that we are hungering for? What is it that is really deep in our soul that I have a desire? Do we feel that? I trust that we do. Do you know, we hear a lot in the world today about fake news, and don't worry, I'm not going to get political here. But I am concerned about something. I'm concerned that there are a lot of people in the world who are serving and worshiping fake gods. Things, objects, that will never satisfy. I looked up just, I know we know who God is or know of God, but I wanted to read, I looked up the definition of God, and Webster says the supreme or ultimate reality as the being perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness, who is worshipped as the creator and ruler of the universe. But it went on and it says a being or object believed to have more than natural attributes and powers and to require human worship. Specifically, one controlling a particular aspect or part of reality. And then it goes on and it talks about a person being of supreme value, a powerful ruler. And dear ones, our God is all in all. He is the great I am. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's all wise, he's all loving, and he is deserving of all of our praise and our worship. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy is doing everything he can to get people's eyes off of God and on something else. He is doing everything he can to cause people to be carried away with all these other things and forget their need of God. I thought about this part of this definition. It says a being or object believed to have more than natural attributes and powers. Dear ones, our world is obsessed with beings, with creatures that have supernatural powers and abilities. I don't go watch them, but the movies in our world today, the TV shows, they're all filled with beings or creatures that have supernatural powers and abilities. You can't hardly walk in a restaurant or a store, a place of business, and they have a TV up there, and there are people who are fighting all these aliens and all these creatures and doing things that normal people and creatures can't do. You see it. I mean, you walk and I'm like, what is that? But there's all of these things, and there's people that's jumping off of buildings and blowing through walls and tearing buildings. And I walk and I think, what are people watching today? But our world is obsessed with some of these things. Do you know children in our land today are obsessed with these things? They have their video games, they have their videos, and they're constantly watching these things. Do you know what it's doing? Instead of them growing up, as many of us that are older did, and you had somebody that was your hero, that was a firefighter or a policeman, or your father who you just thought could do anything and repair anything, they're growing up with superheroes with superpowers. And we'll tell you, it's feeding desires that can never be satisfied. But it doesn't stop there.
That's right.
It goes right on. Right into adulthood. And there are many adults in our world today who are obsessed with these things as well. It's the entertainment that they're feeding on, and it's feeding things. At work, they have a United Way kickoff usually every year, and when they do that, they have some form of kind of like an entertainment or something that they put on for the employees to try to get them, you know, and I know it's just entertainment. But I've noticed the last couple of years that it's these things. And they take the leaders and they dress them up in these, I don't even know what you, I would say they're Darth Vader or something, but they're in these hoods and they've got lightsabers, and these are grown leaders of company. And they're out there and they're doing these skits and stuff, and I know it's entertainment. But dear ones, my concern is what our world is feeding on. Because it doesn't stop with entertainment. They have their supermodels. You know, there's always been models but now it's got to be supermodels. And with all the social media, they're very critical if every detail is not just so-so. They've got their Photoshop images. They've got their unrealistic movies of things like I'm telling you about. There's the porn industry. There's all of these things. There's the social media that people are portraying things. There's profiles and many other things that are not natural. And what it's doing, dear ones, it's feeding desires in our nation among people that can never be satisfied. And I think about what the songwriter said. It says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. I'm afraid, dear ones, that there are many people in our land today that are in this condition. They're seeking after things that cannot satisfy. They're seeking those things that are trying to gratify the flesh, and it's not satisfying the deep desires of the souls. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't have to just stay with the superheroes and those things of superpowers. It even can be just the temporal things of life. In fact, probably one of the reasons that people are fantasizing about all these other things is because the temporal things of life are not satisfying. And so they're seeking something else. I think about, we heard in the prayer request this morning about broken homes. Do you know what the devil will try to tell people when their marriage is not working? It's not your fault. What you need is you need somebody like one of those supermodels or one of these characters in some movies, and everything just is perfect. And if you had that, everything would be wonderful. But you know what they need? What they really need is God.
Yes, amen.
Because, dear ones, God has a love. You say, well, brother, how can that help my marriage? We just don't love each other anymore. Do you know what the powerful love of God can do? It can cause you to love the unlovable. The grace of God is able to help us to be able to overcome every hurt, every heartache, and every disappointment that life brings because of the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, what Satan will do is he will try to convince people that what you really need is you need more of what the world offers. Bigger homes, more money, more excitement. Faster cars, whatever it is, you need something. And if you have that, that'll satisfy you. But what they really need is God. It says here, there are millions in this world who are seeking for pleasures earthly goods afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Dear ones, there are many things that you and I could seek after, that we can desire, that our hearts may long for. But I'm going to tell you, there's none of those things that can satisfy the deep longing of the soul.
Right.
The psalmist said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The one that has all power in heaven and earth. The one, dear ones, that's able to take and calm the storms of your life. And you're going to have storms. Every one of us are going to have things that we go through in life. This one that our soul longs for has the power to calm those storms. He has the power to change the hearts of mankind. He has the power to heal the body, to heal marriages. He has the power to quench the burning lust that is raging in our world today, that is devouring homes and destroying and robbing people of what God intended.
Yes,
do you know God intended for us to have a happy marriage? A happy home and a family? That was God's plan? But I'm going to tell you, Satan is doing everything he can to rob souls of that. He says that thirsteth for the living God. Have you ever thought about why our souls thirst for God? It's because of what the psalmist said. He said in that 42nd verse, 42nd chapter of Psalms in verse 7, it says, deep calleth unto deep. Dear ones, when God created man, the scripture says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. When God created man, He put deep within the soul of man attributes and desires for things like love. There is a deep desire that God put within us. Remember, it says He created us in His image. And what does the Bible say? God is love. And so God put deep within the heart of man a desire to love and to be loved. A desire for kindness and gentleness and all the things that's like God. The fruits of His Spirit. God put that within man. And there is something down within man that, like God, yearns to express itself. And so it's there. It just comes out. We were talking in Sunday school about God. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I believe with all my heart that the reason that God created man in the beginning was because God is love. And it's such a powerful desire that he wanted to express His love. He wanted it so much that even when He mused upon this world and He thought and he was planning it all and He saw that man could go astray, I believe God said, my love is sufficient. It's strong enough that even if they turn their backs, my love will be able to go beyond that. And I'll be able to reach them. What did Jesus say? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. Dear ones, when God created man, I believe He saw all of this. And He said, if that's the way they go, I believe my love is sufficient. And I can send my Son because I love them so much. He said, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I looked this up. I wanted to know, what is this waterspout? And this is what it said. It said, a large tube formed of clouds by means of the electric fluid, the base being uppermost, and the point of the tube let down perpendicularly from the clouds. This tube has a particular circular motion, and being hollow, it says it attracts vast quantities of water, which it pours down in torrents upon the earth. Now, what I have in mind is a little different than maybe some of the commentators on this, because of the thoughts that the Lord was laying on my heart. But when I read that, what came to my mind was the scripture over there in Malachi, where He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove to me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Dear ones, I believe that the soul of man longs for that outpouring of God upon him. I believe that the soul of man desires that love, the graces of God, the gentleness of God. I believe there's something within us that reaches out that's longing for these things. And when the voice, when the soul hears the voice of God calling to it, it creates a yearning deep within us A restlessness that cannot be satisfied by anything else in this world. Because this is who God is. And it's how He created us. And when our soul hears the voice of God calling us, it begins to create a restlessness in us and a yearning for something. But you know, unfortunately, many people do not recognize that. And the enemy of their soul is right there to convince them. Just like He did Adam and Eve. If you will just do this, if you'll just get this, that will satisfy you. You'll have everything you want. Then you'll be happy. But dear ones, the things of this world will never satisfy the longing of our soul. It will never. It may bring temporary comfort, encouragement, or enjoyment, but it can never satisfy the longing of our soul. I think about what the wise man of old said over in Proverbs, the 16th chapter. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in the 25th verse, he said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." My burden this morning is that we can find the real satisfaction of our souls. That we can get a hold of the things that God has for us. And that we not find ourselves in a condition where we're doing or getting the things that our heart desires, only to find out in the end that we're really not satisfied. Just like many in our world today. Do you know the enemy has convinced many people today that if you'll find fame, fortune, if you'll get a little taste of power, that it'll make you happy. It'll give you everything that you want. But you don't have to look around very far, do you, in our world today to recognize that people are not satisfied. Do you know people, the enemy has convinced many people. If you get this one, the most beautiful girl or the most handsome young man, you'll be satisfied. But it won't do it well. You don't have to look very far at all in the world to find out it's not bringing satisfaction. Many people have achieved that, but they're not satisfied. I look out and I hear things and I think, you know, why do people not get a hold of this? You find people and they've gone out and young people, I want you to remember this. The devil will tell you, well, if you get this and thou'll satisfy you. But you look out there and you'll see people and they've got what the devil is telling you and their marriages last, some of them, not even a year. It takes more than that. Do you know the enemy has convinced some that if you just get revenge for the wrongs that you had, now you'll be satisfied. And you know they've achieved that? And there's a lot of people that are not satisfied. Why is that? It's because, dear ones, they're feeding desires that can never be satisfied. Now think about, over here, there's a scripture in Proverbs. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter and the 20th verse, it says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Dear ones, what's happening is Satan is substituting the desires of the flesh for the longing, the deep longing of our souls. But as I've said already, the desires of the flesh can never satisfy that deep longing of our soul. That's why the writer over in 1 John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." It goes on and it says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. Those things can never satisfy the deep longing of our soul. Dear ones, there's things that God has that He wants to provide to every one of us. But Satan is substituting the things of this old world in many people's lives. And that's why you're seeing such a discontent. We heard the prayer request. Pray for our nation. Dear ones, and it needs it. But I'm going to tell you, it's because people have gotten away from what their soul is longing for. And they're going after things that will never satisfy. The eternal soul that has been placed within us can never be satisfied by the things of this world, because those things fade, they rust, they go back to dust. And the eternal soul will live forever in its longing for something that will endure forever. The writer went on here and he said, in this verse, if I can find it here, that was over here in 1 John, I believe it was. He said in the 17th verse, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Dear ones, while Satan is promoting these things in the world today so strongly, and he's promising enjoyment, happiness, peace, prosperity, it's all a lie. Just like he promised to Christ, he said, "If you'll bow down and worship me," he said, "I'll give you all these things." But you know what he did? He did not tell Christ what it would cost him. And my concern this morning is that many people are listening to the flesh, not only to the expense of their souls, but it's costing them the blessings that God has for them. The happy homes, the happy marriages,
yes.
The families that can be blessed of God because the presence of God. I'm going to tell you children, being here in a place like this and having parents that love you, it's a real blessing in our world today. Not just in our world, but in our land today. I read just a clip of a billboard as we drove here this morning. It was talking about 7 children, and I didn't get the rest of it, dying every day because of abuse. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a blessing when you follow the path of the Lord. I would, if your children could get a hold of this, that when the enemy begins to convince you that there's things that are out there, that, "Oh, if I could just have that, I'll be satisfied," I'm going to tell you, you've got right here what the world is longing for. Happiness, peace, and joy. There's a scripture in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, the enemy would like to convince souls that if you get this out there, somebody else's companion or something else, that you'll be happy. But he doesn't tell them the awful penalty for broken vows and disappointment and promises. He doesn't tell them of the heartache that those things will cause. And as Paul said, it's impossible, dear ones, to sow to the flesh without reaping of the flesh, the corruption that goes with that. And our world is seeing that today. But I want you to know, on the other hand, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Dear ones, my burden this morning is that we might be filled and satisfied with the things that God has for us. My burden is that the Lord would bless us not only spiritually, but that because of the spiritual blessings upon us, He can also bless us temporally. I said when I started out that I believe that our God has an abundant supply of everything that we need. And dear ones, that goes more than just the spiritual. It goes to the temporal as well. But I'm going to tell you, God does that for those that commit everything to Him, that give their hearts and lives to Him, that surrender it all these things. "Lord, I give up all the world. I give up everything to You." And when I give everything to God, then He's able to give to us what He sees that we need. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what God sees we need is exactly what we need. Nothing more, nothing less. Because He knows exactly what we need. He has proved over and over through the Scriptures that He is able to supply every need that we have. When He fed the multitudes, when He when he healed the sick, when he provided jobs. He's done all. The request came in this morning about a company closing. I want you to know, dear ones, our God is able to work even in those situations.
Yes,
I remember, and I don't want to get too distracted, but I remember when I started at my job where I'm at. And I was sick one day, and I'd been sick for some time. I was over in Guthrie, and some thought I had pneumonia. And I'd missed some work different times, and I remember my boss sent word through Brother Danny. And he said, if he doesn't go get something done and get back to work, we're going to have to let him go. And I remember I was a young man. I had just started this job, and I remember the Lord coming down and talking to me. When I hung up that phone, I was so troubled, and I was like, Lord, you see, I need this job, and I just started, and I was just telling the Lord all about it. It was just like the Lord was just sitting there listening, just like you are. And when I got through, the Lord spoke to me just as clear, and He said, I gave you that job. If I want you to have it, I can preserve it for you. If I don't, you don't need it anyway. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there was a peace that came over me that I can't explain to you. And the Lord did exactly what He said. But you know, that lesson followed me all down through the years. Somebody asked me this morning, Steve, I believe, asked me how long I've been there. It's been 38 years. The Lord has preserved it all of that time. Dear ones, I want you to know our God knows exactly what we need. And in many times when I didn't know and I was like, Lord, and the company was selling and different things, the Lord reminded me of that. I want young people, I want you to know our God can satisfy not only the longing of your soul, He can satisfy everything. And I say that because I remember what it's like as a young person. You say, well, yeah, I want to live for the Lord, but I need to get all these other things first. I'm going to tell you, you put God first, and God will take care of all the rest of these things. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, He meant exactly what He said. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mentioned a while ago that God does this for those that commit everything to Him. And I want to emphasize that everything. Dear ones, we can't hold back one thing. We've got to give it all to God in order for Him to be able to open the windows of heaven and bless our souls.
Yes, amen.
Because God is looking for a vessel that is fully surrendered to Him. And when we give it all to Him, then God is able to take and come down. This is a personal walk with God. It comes down to our personal relationship with Him. And I realize what happens sometimes is, sometimes we feel that deep yearning that God put within our souls. And we feel that yearning for more of God, and we look around and we think, well, I'm saved. I'm living for God. I'm doing the work of God, and so I'm okay. Everything's all right. And yet, deep down within our souls, we know there's a lack. There's something that I'm longing for, more of God. I need this. Now, there should be within every one of us that yearning for more of God. But yet, there's a difference when we get to the place where we recognize, you know, there's something missing. I'm not satisfied because there's something deep within my soul that tells me I need something more. And the danger, dear ones, is when we get to that place and we look around, we think, well, I'm doing all right. And I convince myself that I'm okay when really my cup is not full. Do you know it's so easy? You remember the story that Christ told of the Pharisee and the publican? I won't turn over there. It's in Luke, the 18th chapter, if you want to look at that. But where the Pharisee came in and he stood up and he began to pray. And he began to say, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men, extortioners and murderers and all these other things. And then he looked over at the publican and he said, or even like this publican. And he began to tell of all that he did. He fasted and he gave and all those things. And it said, Jesus said, and the publican was over there And he smote himself. He wouldn't even look up into heaven. And he just smote himself on the breast. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you know, dear ones, there's something that we need to get a hold of, even as Christians. Because the enemy of our soul would like to rob us from the depths that God has for us spiritually. God put that yearning within our hearts and souls because He doesn't. This is not just a one-time thing that I get saved or a one-time thing that I get sanctified. But God put deep within our souls a yearning for more of God. That we want this more and more. And it should be there every day in our lives. There should be a yearning. Lord, I want Your presence. I desire it. That's what should cause us when we get up in the morning and we want to pray because, Lord, I want to please You.
Yes, Lord.
But I'm going to tell you, what happens is many times the enemy will come in and, like I said, and try to convince us, well, you're saved. You're living for the Lord. You're doing this or you're doing that or you're working or you're busy in the things of God. And so you're okay. What He wants to do, dear ones, is to squelch that desire for more of God. Because He does not want us to have that closeness with our Heavenly Father. But dear ones, what we have to do is we have to recognize this is what the enemy is doing. Because my desire this morning, as I said, is that every need that we have can be satisfied. Spiritually and temporally. That we can come before our Heavenly Father that has all things. And come to Him and say, Lord, I've given my life to You. And You see this need that I have, whether it's a temporal need or a spiritual need. And Lord, I'm asking You to supply this. And that I can have a relationship with my Heavenly Father that He can open the windows of heaven and pour out upon me those things that He has. But dear ones, the Lord cannot fill our cup if it's already full. The Lord cannot take and pour out those blessings upon us if our cup is already full of things that will not satisfy. When we come before the Lord, we're going to have to come before Him with a recognition that, Lord, I need You. And we're going to have to be willing to lay aside some of these things that would hinder us from having that real close relationship with the Lord. We're going to have to empty our cup some. Do you know, it can be anything. It can be the cares of life. It can be taking care of our jobs, our families. It can be hurts and disappointments, frustrations. You know, the Scripture says it's impossible, but that these things will come. There's going to be hard times. You're going to face some disappointments in life. You say, well, but that's not my fault. I can't help that. But you know, dear ones, if we get our eyes on man, we'll go home like the Pharisee instead of the publican. Those things are going to happen, but we're going to have to give all of those hurts and disappointments to the Lord. We're going to have to surrender. When I said the Lord bestows the blessings upon those that give everything to Him, this is what I'm talking about. Everything. Our hurts, our disappointments, our desires, our ambitions. When we give it all to the Lord, then the Lord is able to come down and to supply what we need.
Yes.
The publican recognized his need, and so he went home filled. If we get our eyes on other things, dear ones, it'll fill up our cup. And when we come before the Lord, it's going to squelch that deep hunger and desire for a closer relationship with God. I said, the burden that the Lord has gave me this morning is that the Lord would fill each one of us with His love, with His presence, with His power. That His presence can be so rich in our lives,
yes, Lord,
that the powers of the enemy that is trying to rob you and I of the spiritual blessings, most of all, but even of the temporal blessings in life, that those powers would be bound. That we can be free in the Lord and that we can have a close relationship with God. Dear ones, we don't need what the world's seeking after. We don't need superpowers. We don't need superheroes. But what we desperately need is a close personal relationship with our God. The one that has all power in heaven and earth. The one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And so, my challenge to each one of us this morning. If you're here and you're saved, but you know there's something that is lacking down within your souls. You know that I'm not really satisfied. I know it goes beyond just that yearning for more of God, but it's something that I've allowed something to hinder me, and I'm not in that real, I don't feel the closeness of God. It's been so long since the Lord has opened the windows of heaven and just poured out upon me a blessing that I'm feeling dry. You know what I'm talking about? It happens to us, dear ones. God wants to come down and He wants to meet us in our times of prayer, in our times of trial. God wants to come down and He wants to open those windows of heaven and pour His love upon our souls. He wants to give us grace to be able to overcome the heartaches and troubles of life. But sometimes we struggle with those things. And so my challenge to us this morning is if I know, if you're here and you know I've got something that I'm just not satisfied, I will encourage you to find a place of prayer wherever that's at. And you pray until God sends down the blessings from heaven. You pray until you pray through and those windows of heaven. I'm going to tell you, like I said, you may have to empty the cup of some things. The Lord may come by and say, I can't do it. You got this and this and you don't have time. Dear ones, we're going to have to pour out some of those things to where we can get a hold of God and get in that closet and pray until the power comes down.
Yes.
And we'll tell you, He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open those windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. This is what I want. Not just for me, but I want it for every one of us this morning. I want us to have the presence of God rich in our lives, individually and in our assemblies. Dear ones, there's battles in the church right now. There's people that they're in trouble, afflictions. There's souls that are bound. They need a church that has the presence of God so rich that when a sinner comes in the door, that the Spirit of God can be so rich in our midst here that it'll bind the powers of Satan that is causing that soul to have walls to where they can't be saved. The Lord wants to break those down. There are things that God has in our individual lives that He wants to do. But dear ones, we desperately need a close relationship with Him. And so the challenge that the Lord has laid on my heart, and this is for me as well as you, is Lord, help us to empty out of those things that would hinder the Lord from opening His windows and filling us up. Dear ones, I believe when we do that and we lift up our cup and say, fill her up, that God will do just what He said. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't even feel the presence of God in your life anymore, you don't know the voice of God. You've lost that. The things of this world have drowned that out. And you don't feel that deep yearning for God that God put there. My challenge to you is find an altar of prayer and pray and beg God for mercy because you're in a dangerous place. Dear ones, God created us to have that yearning in our souls.
Yes, He did.
But I'm going to tell you, the enemy of our souls is doing everything he can to squelch that out, to substitute it for the things of this world that will never satisfy an eternal soul. May God help each one of us this morning. Like I said, when the Lord gave me this, I didn't know I was coming here. So it's from the Lord. It's not aimed at anyone. It's what the Lord gave me. But I believe, dear ones, that God wants us. He wants to fill us up. He wants us to have the fullness of His presence in our lives. And He wants to bless each and every one of us. I appreciate your attention this morning.